Hello and welcome everyone to Transcend Trauma, Heal Your Past to Thrive Now online event. I'm your host, Tanya Penny. I'm an occupational therapist by degree, an illness and trauma guide, spiritual alchemist, and author of the Connect with the Divine You book and journals. And I'm hosting this event because I am devoted to supporting you to heal your past trauma and PTSD so that you can thrive now and live a life full of peace, joy, love, and fully live your soul's purpose. So today I'm excited to share with you the wisdom of Jasmine Russell. We're going to be diving into the topic of transforming complex trauma with holotropic breathwork. So for those of you that are new to Jasmine, she is the co-founder of the Institute for the Development of Human Arts, a transformative mental health training institute, also host of Depth Work, a holistic mental health podcast, a holistic healer and trauma survivor. She is also an interdisciplinary scholar of mad studies, critical psychology, and neuroscience. Jasmine has worked in the mental health system as a crisis counselor and later as a peer counselor. After becoming disillusioned with the system in 2015, she became a holistic counselor across many modalities, including holotropic breathwork, herbalism, intentional peer support, intuitive energy healing, embodiment work, and more. She continues to see clients as a trauma-informed holotropic breathwork practitioner, specializing in working with complex trauma, altered states, and spiritual crisis. Jasmine, thank you so much for being here with us today and sharing on this this modality, which I mentioned before we got started, that I've done a lot of different breathwork, but I'm not sure I've tried this. So I know that healing trauma takes, you know, for many of us, many different modalities and different things in our lifetime. So what I'd love to hear from you is, how did you get into this? You know, why are you here doing this? I always love to share stories. I think it's really powerful. You know, I don't think most people just wake up and they're like, I want to help people heal trauma. We typically, right? We typically have some of our own juicy story to get us there. So yeah, if you'd like to share with us, I would love that.
Absolutely. Happily. And thank you for inviting me here. I'm so excited. Yes. So like many of us do, I came into this work from my own lived experience as a complex trauma survivor. So I'm a survivor of childhood trauma, childhood sexual abuse and neglect, and was also someone, as many of us are, at this intersection of trauma, complex trauma, and chronic illness. So for many years, I struggled. And finally, at about 17 years old, I started to have flashback memories of the childhood sexual abuse and experienced, you know, the beginnings of really strong PTSD. It was like as if someone had turned the lights out in my life. And I did what we are told to do. You know, I grew up in the 90s with all those infomercials about, you know, just talk to your doctor about, you know, antidepressants or medication. And so I went in really looking for some help and some support. And when I was 17 years old, went to go see a psychiatrist. And as is all too often the story for many folks, after about 15 minutes of trying to tell my story and my trauma history, the psychiatrist wrote me down a prescription for a really powerful antipsychotic, gave me three different mental health diagnoses, and sent me out the door. And I felt like my life had been turned upside down. However, thankfully, even at the time, I had enough of my worldview was such that I really did understand how big of a role trauma played in my mental health. I knew that there wasn't just something wrong or broken within me. I knew that to some extent, the symptoms that I was experiencing was my body's way of trying to move the trauma through and trying to process and trying to experience or to go through my experiences in order to heal. And so that really left a mark on me in terms of, you know, the way that we approach mental health as a society really needs to shift. It doesn't seem like we're really addressing root causes. And naturally, I went on to go study applied psychology and to train to be a counselor and wound up working in the middle of mental health crises systems in New York City. So straight into the belly of the beast, so to speak. I really wanted to understand and lend my hands and my heart to support other people who were moving through mental health and trauma struggles. And naturally, what I found was again that we were really just perpetuating this approach where we weren't actually giving people the support that they needed in order to heal. Often we were simply pathologizing. And I'm in total support of people seeking out any type of treatment or help that they want. However, I felt like we just didn't have very many options in terms of traditional systemic approaches. And as someone who started working in the system, I felt really complicit in a system that I didn't feel was actually truly helping or supporting people. And this led to what I like to call my big breakdown many years ago, where it would have been labeled, had I entered the mental health system again at that point, would have been labeled something along the lines of a psychotic break. I started to really break from reality, started to see and hear things that other people didn't see and hear. However, for me, for a lot of different reasons, especially because I worked in the mental health system, I knew that I did not want to go the traditional route. And I knew that this was my body's way of telling me that something desperately needed to change. And it felt also, as many people experience, quite like a spiritual experience, even though it was incredibly terrifying and challenging. However, I realized that my body was really trying to tell me something. And a few of the things it was trying to tell me was not only that I still had a lot of trauma that was stuck inside of my body, but also that at the same time, I was struggling with an autoimmune condition. And this is something that I think a lot of people maybe miss, or that gets kind of swept under the rug, is that people who are complex trauma survivors, we not only carry this inside of our bodies in terms of emotional pain, but this can really manifest as physical conditions as well. There's a huge link, I think, as many listening already deeply understand, between mind, body, and spirit. And so this breakdown really taught me a lot about that. And so naturally, I wanted to find many different modalities. I wanted to really look at more holistic approaches for mental health. And I believed, again, that mental health concerns are really attempts of the body to heal and to transform. And so I gathered some other peers, other people who were working both within and outside the mental health system, and eventually went on to do some activism work in mental health, really wanting to shift the system in a way, and wound up meeting a bunch of other wonderful people. And we started the Institute for the Development of Human Arts, which, as you mentioned, is a mental health training institute for folks who are interested in really challenging the status quo. But at the same time, I was personally seeking out training and other healing modalities, and I found a community, a workshop in New York City that was holotropic breathwork, that was led by Aaron Telford. And it, I mean, it's corny to say, but it changed my life. It was like, okay, I walk into this room, there's a group of people, people lie down on their mats, you breathe. You know, we're taught that, you know, the breath is deeply connected to a healing process, but I had absolutely no idea the actual power of breath, that just going into simple breath patterns can allow so much energy to be moved. And the power, I think, also of being in a group of people, allowing your body to express what it needs to express, crying, yelling, moving, just kind of being in this community where you're allowed to be witnessed and seen in that, that is huge. We don't have any spaces really in our modern society to be able to do that. And so breathwork was really life-changing on that front for me.
Wow. You just shared so much and so many things like I want to go touch on. That's amazing. I think first of all, you know, you said that you started to have memories come back when you were 17. So I want to touch on that, because I think there's this belief system out there that that you you just always remember all the traumas. And, you know, I have a lot of people come in through my door through the illness door, I'm going to say, because that was my journey as well, as it sounds like it was for you. Multiple sclerosis, it was for me, was my nudge from my soul to heal on a deeper level. But it's interesting because that was when I was 29. And it wasn't until I was trying to think how old I'm 49. It wasn't until about 5-6 years ago that I had even deeper memories come up of sexual abuse that I had family that I had no inkling about. So, you know, I think that's just an important point to make, is that a lot of times we're like, something's wrong, but we don't know. And I think a lot of times it is that repressed trauma, right? It's repressed trauma. You know, whether it's anxiety or depression and you're like, I don't know why, or it's a physical symptom or an illness diagnosis. Absolutely. It's all connected. And, I believe memories come back when we're ready, right? When we're ready to have that.
I was just going to say that exact thing. I'm a big believer that the body doesn't give us anything that we can't handle. And that, you know, to some extent, people also always ask me, do I have to remember? Like, what if I don't remember? Do I have to remember in order to heal? I don't believe that we do. I think that it's enough that our bodies carry the memories, even if we don't have the exact memories. I don't think we need to relive that in order to heal trauma.
I agree. I think some, you know, I tell people if that's part of your journey to remember all the memories, great. For me, it was more like, it was like a knowing, but I didn't have a lot of the actual memories all the time. Right. So, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to add on to that, yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
And trusting that knowing too, I think is so important. And exactly as you said, I think that either the memories or the feelings, or just we go into the deeper layers of it, our body will reveal it. You know, people always say like the layers of an onion, and I've definitely found that to be true.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think it is becoming more widely known that trauma, even if we have, you know, I don't know if you hear this, but people will say to me, but I've been in therapy since I was, you know, a teenager or my early 20s, and now they're 50, 60 years old. And they're like, I've talked it out, right? And so I do believe talking is helpful, but yes, it's actually living in the body. So to have modalities to help actually release it from the body and, you know, and what you're talking about in a group, I think is, you know, because many of us are afraid of people because of our traumas. And afraid of expressing, and we weren't allowed to express, right? A lot of us, it was like, you know, be quiet, or, you know, we were told not to tell about it, and definitely not to feel and express what we were feeling at the time. So that is super powerful, I think, to be able to do that, kind of work in a group. And I'm guessing probably scary I'm just thinking like in a group, like, ooh, I don't know. I've done a lot of my modalities more, one-on-one. So tell us, tell us about the group piece. And, and we don't have to do it in the group, right? It sounds like it can be done in a group or it can be done one-on-one.
Yes, exactly. There's many ways to do breath work. The way that I got started was by diving into the deep end in a group, but you can definitely.
That was your journey.
That was my journey. That was what was being asked of me, I suppose, just to go right in. I also do find, because I facilitate one-on-one and group breath work, and I find that some folks are completely new to breath work who come in and they're just like, okay, you know, gonna sit down at the yoga mat, not always really prepared for what's to come. And it can be a little bit like, whoa, what did I get myself into? But then the power of the breath too is that it calms your nervous system down to a place where even if intensity emerges, your body's in a state where it can allow that intensity to move through a lot easier in the breath work. So yes, both group and individual sessions. Something that you also touched on in terms of talking is that, I mean, you know, That's my background, just kind of more traditional talk therapy. I still work with a lot of colleagues who are psychiatrists, psychologists, who are really radical in their approaches, but maybe also still focus on talk therapy. And I think talk therapy is wonderful. I wouldn't say anything bad about it. And people often find that something else is needed. And that something else I find is that the body has a different language. And because trauma really bridges this, this mind-body divide, we need to be competent at both kinds of language. So we have the more linear, more rational, linguistic language, and then we also have the symbolic, subconscious, somatic language. And that's something that historically has not really been prioritized, or validated in Western culture. And what feels really powerful about breathwork to me is that it's an embodied practice. And it also is a practice where, through the breath, people go into a gentle altered state of consciousness. And, some folks can say this altered state is maybe akin to something like psychedelic therapy. But what makes it markedly different than psychedelic therapy is that. Which, particularly for trauma survivors, is important is that you have a lot of control over the
Yes.
breath. So you get to decide how deep you go. You have a lot of agency in order to slow the breath down and slow the intensity down, or to go deeper when you feel like you want to and you're ready for it. And so that's what I feel like is really unique about breathwork is that you can still access the altered state of consciousness that can bring you more clarity and insight and intuition in this subconscious symbolic realm. And at the same time, you are safe and you can come out of it whenever you desire.
I think that is really important. A few pieces here. One is that, essentially our power was taken, especially in childhood trauma, but in other traumas as well. And so to have a modality and a tool that you're in control of, right, that you have the power to use, I think is really, really important. And just another thing that I'm like I've thought about it before, but I'm like, oh my God, on a deeper level right now, like what happens when we are experiencing the trauma? We hold our breath, right? We hold our breath almost always, regardless of the kind of trauma that it is. And especially when it's repeat or complex, the complex trauma that happens over and over again. So I'm just like, wow, like powerful, right? A tool that you have control over. Which is so important. And then also that it's working with the breath, which is one of the things that we just totally, cut down, hold, whatever, when that trauma is happening. Yeah. So beautiful. So tell us, there's so many different types of breath work out there. And so tell us, for those of us that are new, like what is holotropic breath work and how does that look different maybe than some other types of breath work out there?
So holotropic breathwork was repopularized in the 1970s by Stan and Christina Grof, who had been studying more ancient traditions and indigenous cultures. And also, this was at a time where, the psychedelic revolution was alive, and they were looking for alternatives to psychedelic therapies, again, where people didn't have to take a substance, but they could still have a similar type of effect. And I say repopularized because I think one of the important things about breathwork is that breathwork is something that has been around since humans have been around, since humans have had, have been living in societies and civilizations. We all come from lineages of people, no matter where we are from, who have used breath for some form of healing. And so this is something that our bodies know how to do. I'm a believer that we know how to process trauma. We know how to move things through our bodies and through our system. And breathwork is one way to access that. Holotropic specifically is a breath pattern where typically people are lying down, eyes closed, and it's a pretty rapid oxygenation of the body. Holotropic has a few different styles. The one that I practice is by David Elliott, and I was trained by Aaron Telford, and this is a two-part breath. So it's all through the mouth. It's a deep inhale into the belly, deep inhale into the chest, and an exhale. So, And when we do that in a rhythmic fashion, it starts to oxygenate the body the same way that, you know, if you're going for a fast, a pretty quick run and you get that runner's high, it very much feels like that as well. It very rapidly puts you into a bit of an altered state. And yeah, again, I find that holotropic, all variations of holotropic, but especially this two-part breath variation, can be really incredible for catharsis and emotional release. And depending on, you know, the facilitator that you go to, it may have a slightly different flavor or style. Some might be more for just a deep meditation, and some might be more oriented towards emotional release. I really love it because, again, I feel like especially for folks who are complex trauma survivors, also who experience chronic pain or, you know, various chronic illnesses throughout the body, people find a lot of relief through this breath work because you're just moving a lot of energy through you. So a few of the things that people report from holotropic breath work are things like, it's this might be a little bit of an intense metaphor, but it's kind of like taking a plunger to your system. It's like just moving a lot through. People often say, and I would agree, that it feels like coming back to your true self. Like you move all of the dust and all the stuff that is not you out of the way. You can really start to experience your own essence. People have insights, clarity, deeper intuition. And especially when I always bring this in as well, because intergenerational trauma is also really part of my story and dear to my heart as well. I always bring in an ancestral component because I believe that, you know, many of us are carrying some of the both gifts and skills and talents and also traumas that our ancestors may have carried. And so I think it's also a wonderful way to connect to our ancestors. And also to connect with spirit.
Beautiful. And yeah, I'm just thinking as you were explaining what it was, I was like, oh my God, I have done it. And it was super powerful about 2 years ago. When I first moved to Hawaii, there was somebody that, that I knew, and I didn't really know what we were going to do, but I knew of her. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go to this workshop. And when you described what the breath was like, that is what we did. Like that was woven into it. And I had a huge like cry, like out of nowhere, just like a huge, huge release. And that is also when, for me, at least some memories came up, deeper memories again, than I had previously, like I said, 5, 6 years ago, this about 2 years ago. Which brought up a level of trauma that I wasn't aware of. So yeah, it was hugely powerful. And as we're talking, I'm like, I need to do more of that.
Yes.
You know, I think too, just back to the body, and trauma in the body, that a lot of these illnesses, you know, at least from my own experience, you know, the MS was, you know, I worked on the MS, I healed that. And then now I am still dealing with, Crohn's actually, an autoimmune, and which I didn't even get the diagnosis till about 2, 3 years ago. And, it's so interesting because I know that that is very deep and it happened when I was very young, like the seeds for that and that specific trauma are in the gut. Right. Are in my colon, and that, you know, so just feeling into like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like the traumas that happened first are probably the last to be healed. Right. Yeah. And that was, I mean, when I was born or probably in utero, the mother wound, my mom, you know, had a bunch of stuff going on and she was very young and it was, yeah, very traumatic for her. And then, yeah. So that piece, and then also the ancestral piece, me too, right? I think a lot of us, whether we're aware of it or not, are carrying intergenerational trauma. So I'm glad that you brought that piece up. We haven't talked a lot about that yet, on here. And I think it's really important that people understand, right? It's in our DNA, right? So not only from my experience, right, it's not only, yes, you might have actually experienced the trauma, but then it could all just be passed down in your DNA too. Yeah.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Totally.
Yeah.
And there's so much interesting research now with this epigenetic research. And the book I always point people to is by Mark Wallen. It's called It Didn't Start With You. It's a really wonderful book about intergenerational trauma and starting to explore that. But absolutely. I mean, there's kind of a classic psychodynamic concept called trauma retention or trauma reenactment. And it's when we, you know, reenact early trauma in as an attempt in order to heal it. And this can also be across generations. And many people have even somewhat mystical experiences of almost exactly recreating some of the traumas of ancestors that they may not have even known the story or the history of. And then on a broader, more collective level, we all come from people who have experienced different kinds and to varying degrees of trauma, right? And in some ways, our current society also can replicate and recreate some of those traumas. Those wounds for many of us and many of our peoples have not been healed. And yeah, I think that breathwork and some of these practices, again, where we get out of that linear trajectory thinking, well, if I just understand logically why I experienced this and what my coping patterns have been, then I can heal it. And it's like, well, there's
part of
a
it.
whole other, side to that. And going back to the body, you know, some of us carry, again, with also different kinds of illnesses, the illnesses that family
absolutely
members
yeah absolutely like I know that my I know on at least my dad's side of the family that yeah there was a lot of GI issues and colon cancer and stomach cancer and you know all of that. So I do firmly believe that, you know, as I'm working on healing my stuff, that is helping to heal it for
And can I ask you, if you don't mind, I find this is something I'm really exploring and excited to dive into some of the research on and people's stories on. This excites me so much, the idea that there's almost a poetics to the way that the body expresses pain and suffering. And you've kind of alluded a few times to GI stuff holding very specific emotions for you. Have you also found that there's kind of this almost symbolic, metaphoric relationship of, you know, where and how the trauma expresses itself in the body and the emotional aspects?
Yeah, absolutely. And just when you asked that questions, I got the chills. Like that's something really important to talk about. Yeah, no, I do believe that. And, you know, if you know, I think most people here are familiar with the chakras and, you know, and if you look at, the different chakras and the different traumas that are held, so I'll just, you know, TMI, but I'll just put it out there. When I started about 2 years ago, when I started to do some deeper trauma healing because memories had come up around it, was when my GI symptoms really flared. Like I've always had GI problems, but they got really, really severe. And I'm still, you know, still working with that. And I do believe it's releasing. You know, I do feel like sometimes when things get worse, it's actually the releasing of the trauma from the body, right?
Yes.
Because it's been locked in there. And if you think about the colon and, specifically, right now, mine has moved actually through my GI system. It's been crazy, right? So I get colonoscopies a lot. And so I'm able to see in CAT scans and, it started in my ileocecal. And then the next one, a couple months later, it was up in my upper, and then it was in my descending. And now it's right at the end in the rectum, believe it or not. It's crazy, right? And that has to do with the root chakra and safety and security. And my trauma, like I said, started right out of the gate, you know, right in the womb, actually. But then, a lot of physical abuse when I was first born. And I think 100% that if you have an illness or a symptom in a certain area of the body, it's definitely correlated to what type of trauma it is. And it could even be that area was part of the, you know, part of the trauma, right?
Yeah.
So some of my actual, you know, did I actually have trauma happen to my colon? Yes, I did. My mother gave me Pepto-Bismol as an infant. And, you know, as many of you maybe know or don't know, you're not supposed to give that to anybody under the age of 11 or 12. Right. So, and those are all memories that came back when I've been doing this trauma work. She never told me that. Right. So yeah, with all these different modalities, we can have these memories of like, oh my God, this is why I'm suffering from this. So I know that's a long explanation, but.
Oh, thank you for sharing that, because to
Yeah.
be honest with you, that mirrors my experience quite perfectly as well. I also have a lot of GI stuff. I think that's where we carry a lot of distress and pain. I've been diagnosed with celiac disease and
Me
then small
too.
intestinal bacteria overgrowth. Yeah. And that's so interesting that you mention it moving down through the body, because that is also over the last decade or so what I've noticed. I used to have really bad upper GI stuff, hiatal hernia, this like pressure pushing up against my body, and I kept wanting to just like shove it down, like, can it just go down, down, down? And one day I had this realization of actually something wants to come up and out, and it was anger. And I used to have such a hard time experiencing anger. It was like, no, 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 I'm the good girl. I don't experience anger. That's not me. You know, all of
Well,
that.
and we couldn't like when those things were being done to us,
Yeah.
we weren't allowed,
Wasn't.
right? And we might have even got something worse if we would have expressed the anger. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, because it's so interesting. Last week I had so much anger come up, so much like ridiculous amount of anger. I was one of those that really struggled with anger as well. So it's amazing all these deeper layers and these emotions that are still stuck in the body as well, that we know are creating the illnesses, right?
Yeah. And just seeing that parallel, you know, once I really allowed myself to expel that anger, to bring it up and through, to let the energy move the way it wanted to move, then I got to go to the deeper layers. And then we got to kind of the mid GI section, and we got into some shame, and then allowing the shame to move through. And exactly like you've said, down to the bottom layer is just, it's the fear. It's the deep fear.
It's
It's so,
crazy. It's so crazy. Like it blows my mind. And I mean, I've been doing this work and studying this since, you know, the MS diagnosis in 2004. And so 20 years, and it's still like, it's crazy. Like the layer thing, when people say, you know, like, when is it ever going to be done? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not there yet. Like, is it possible to fully heal? Yes, I do believe that. I mean, if I could heal MS, I'm like, yes, I can heal this GI issue.
Yes.
And I think, you know, patience is, right? Like, I wish it could be done faster. And I know that you probably feel that way sometimes too, like other people, you know, especially, I don't know, my GI symptoms, it can be really frustrating at times. But just a reminder that, I mean, I'm just thinking about, my God, my whole childhood was pretty much trauma. You know, you mentioned sexual abuse. Yep. I had a lot of that, a lot of physical abuse, verbal abuse. So for me to think, oh, it's going to be healed overnight might be kind of unrealistic, right? Because there's so much stored and stuffed in the body, from those traumas and from those abuse. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What we're aiming for in terms of healing, you know, it's really common. We grow up in a world, in a worldview, and in Western society where we think, okay, well, I just got to figure out what the answer is, or I need to figure out what the cure is, or I need to figure out how to approach this and how to. And I think for so long, I was approaching my healing like it was a checklist, like it was schoolwork, like it was something I just needed to, you know, do. I needed to do better, and it fueled my perfectionism, which was
Oh
only
boy.
growth. Yes.
Oh, yep.
Even deeper, right?
More, I have to do it. If it's not healed, I must not be doing it right.
Yeah.
I must not be doing it right, and I must be needing to do more of whatever it is.
Yeah,
Right? So that
exactly.
pushing and striving, just like everything in our culture, we can do that with healing. And that can actually, at least for me, it can set me back when I go into that. Yeah.
Truly, truly, because the approach needs to match the outcome that you desire. And if your approach is pushing and that doesn't match the outcome of, ease and peace, like those things, don't really go together. So yeah, I find that a lot, what we're actually aiming for in healing trauma is having a completely different relationship to ourselves, our body, and our way of being in the world. And that's not something that someone can hand you a prescription for. That's not, that doesn't even just happen from having clarity, from knowing what it is that maybe you need to shift or change. That comes from living into the answers,
And practicing, like it's, yeah, like these deep survival patterns, which you brought up. The perfectionist is one of them that I talk about. Then we've got the people pleaser and pretending to be superhuman, which is the pusher, right? These are patterns that I've been working on healing for a very long time, and they can still pop up, especially when I get frustrated with my body, right? I think that's another thing that happens is that we get pissed off at our bodies when really it's just our bodies that are letting us know there's still more deeper layers to heal. And so, making your body your friend and not your enemy, I think is a really important piece to kind of weave in here as well. And, I think.
I'm not a friend, but I also have a mentor who says that your body is your biggest guide in this
Yes.
lifetime. Body is your biggest
Barometer.
mentor.
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah.
truly. And every time I've finally let myself just let go of the need to know and the need to fix and the need to change and the need to transform and heal and all these things, and finally just sat down with my body and said, okay, I'm willing, I'm open, I'm here, show me the way. What is it that you have to tell me? And not demanding an answer right
Oh
away.
boy.
The willingness to be in process. Yeah.
And to be, oh yeah. I mean, and I'm laughing because just, yeah, these past, while I'm doing this, right? This is it's ironic, but it's not, right? Of course, because I'm doing this event right now. I'm not surprised that my symptoms are.
Yes. Yeah.
And to be, I don't want to say, no, I'm going to say the word accepting of what's happening right now is, super important. And that's not always easy.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in terms of, sessions with you, now you do group, online or just in person? And do you do one-on-one online or in person? How does that work typically?
Typically, I work with people one-on-one online, and I actually find that that works really well because then people get to be in their own bed, in their own home, and they get to be really cozy and relaxed. So I do Zoom sessions, and they're always an hour and a half because I like to combine also a bit of energy healing in the breath work, have enough time for the breath work, but also allow people to speak and to say whatever they want to say. So we have about half an hour at the beginning of each session to just be able to talk about intentions and desires and things like that. And then for groups, I do both in person and online. So some folks will come in, with their own group. They're like, can I do this with my sister or my mom or whoever else? And so, yes, we can always do multiple people as well online. And I'm just getting back into doing some in-person breathwork workshops as well. I live near Berlin in Germany. So I don't know how many listeners here are in Germany, or in that part of Germany. But if you are, I'm doing some group workshops around here. And then also because I spent many years in New York, I often go back and do lead breathwork sessions over there as well whenever I'm there.
Beautiful. So lots of options. Yeah. I just always like to, a lot of people assume something like that might need to be in person, but COVID opened up this whole new world of, for many people, of doing things, virtually. And I think pretty much any healing modality, be done virtually now, which is a blessing and really important. So, oh wow, we covered a lot today. I think a lot of, yeah, I'm like, I am ready to do a holotropic breathwork session with you.
Yeah,
Got to be signing up for one of those. So yeah, I know that you have two offers for us today. One is a free gift, breathwork for emotional release. Can you tell us just a little bit about that? When people sign up for that, what are they going to receive and experience?
yes, absolutely. So that is a it's a 30-minute video, and 15 to 20 minutes of it we spend in the breathwork. It's just a quite brief introduction to what holotropic breathwork is. So I explain my relationship to the work in the beginning, and then people get to have just a little taste of it. And it's a way to kind of dip your toe in and see if it's something that's right for you.
Ah, beautiful, beautiful. So you guys can receive that below this video. And then Jasmine, you also have an offer for breathwork sessions. And so you said you were going to be offering us a discount. So I just want to thank you for that. And you said those are 90 minutes long?
Yes.
Yeah. And Zoom, you guys, or I guess in person if you live in near Berlin. So you can also find all the information and the link for that below this video as well. So anything else you feel guided to add or share before we close today's lovely conversation?
I just want to thank you for all the work that you're doing to host this and put this together. It's really important for people to have touch points and spaces to gather and, to be doing this work together. So thank you.
Yeah, you are so welcome. I think, like I said earlier, it's really important that we know that there are so many modalities out there and that we may need different things at different times of our life and at different points in our healing journey. If I had a list of everything I've tried, which maybe I'll make a list. I've tried a lot. I am always like, people say, oh, isn't it just like enough to get that far? And for me, it's not. Like I want 100% healing. And so, I'm willing to try almost anything. I was joking with someone the other day. I said, except bee sting therapy. I am not going to do that. But
Yeah, same. I'll probably avoid that one. The good
yeah.
news is there's so many things out there, so whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, that might be for somebody, but yeah, I've had enough pain. No, thank you. I'm in enough pain in my life. I like a little more gentle strategies. But yeah, so I mean, like you said, there's talk therapy is needed. Sometimes medications are needed until we can get this stuff out of our body, right? So yeah, I just want to honor everybody that's here listening to this, and just a reminder that yeah, we need lots of different tools, lots of different modalities. Sometimes different practitioners, like you said earlier, there might be people that do holotropic breath work that do it differently than you, right? And that's true for any modality, as we know, right? So yeah, I think it's really important to find, and that's my hope for doing these events is for all of you to find that next modality and that next practitioner, healer, coach, guide that you feel, that you resonate with, and that the body, like me before, I said, oh, when you asked the question, my body lit up. So that's kind of my sign, my truth sign, or my body telling me, yes, like, yes, something like that. So thank you again, Jasmine, for being here with us today and sharing your beautiful work. And I know that many people are going to benefit and hopefully receive what you have. And a reminder just to everybody here, that there are lots of speakers and lots of gifts and offers and really just finding, I don't want to overwhelm people either. I know we talked about earlier how people can go into like more is better. So, we don't want to put ourselves in overwhelm. So yeah, just baby steps and start with what's next. Yeah. And I just want to say to everyone too, just thank you for your courage. Because I think I know as we continue to heal ourselves, that is what is ultimately going to help heal the planet and raise that vibration. So doing our own work is so important. And I know it takes courage. Like it's not easy. Like it doesn't feel good usually. It's what I meant
Yeah.
to say. So, So thank you, everyone. And thank you, Jasmine. And I hope to see you all again really soon. Namaste.